Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
You're listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and this is Season 5, Episode 53, and the Powder Keg has ignited on Garden Ice after a season series slightly tilted in the favor of the Blue Shirts. The New Jersey Devils look to exact their pound of flesh by finally getting Matthew Rempe to answer the call for his earlier hit on Jonas Siegenthaler, and the Rangers are more than happy to respond in kind as five players on the ice drop the gloves and go at it off the starting draw. Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Recording this, I literally just got out of jury duty, which is obviously can be a huge frustration for some, but it is our civic duty to do so. And luckily, I did not get selected to sit on a case. So I did my one day of waiting around, and now I'm good for the next 8 years. But again, I have fulfilled my civic duty, and now I can share my thoughts on an explosive evening of New York Rangers hockey. Now, for those who are paying attention, I did go to the Rangers-Penguins game on Monday. Not the result that the team would have wanted or I wanted. You just knew that what was going to happen, considering how many games they've won this month or leading into the month of April, only dropping, what, two all month? And I knew, I'm like, I'm going to this game. They're finally going to lay an egg. And, you know, they basically outchanced the Penguins, but they were really unlucky and a little lethargic, and they had broken sticks all over the ice. And they just, you know, they just won those games. They didn't really have it, and the Penguins were looking to be opportunistic and, yeah, just got the better of a pretty lethargic performance by the Blue Shirts and most notably their captain, Jacob Trouba. But if we know one thing about this team this year is that they have been very good at following up lackluster performances and getting the W or righting a wrong or at least improving upon their performance from a missed opportunity to grab 2 points the game prior. And that's what they were looking to do going into this big game. Like I said, Garden Ice, final meeting of the season for the Devils and the Rangers. The Rangers had won every single game between the two teams this season, which is pretty rare, honestly. I don't remember the last time, at least with the Devils, that's happened. But especially considering how good New Jersey had been, well, until this season, I guess. But yeah, tale of two seasons for two teams. I mean, this goes back to essentially the playoffs last year with the Devils getting the better of the Rangers in seven games in the first round, knocking the Rangers out of the playoffs. So, and most pundits had these two teams going in two totally different directions, with the Devils' young core, Jack Hughes leading the way, one of the most dynamic players in the National Hockey League. Jesper Bratt, they get Timo Meier, they have Luke Hughes, who is going to be a budding superstar, Simone Nemitz. It's just basically, and again, this might be projection. This is maybe more my, this might not be reality, but this is my feeling as a Rangers fan. It seemed like there are some people, predominantly New Jersey Devils fans, were ready to anoint themselves a dynasty. before anything had even happened. Well, what happened this year? The New York Rangers, who were supposedly going to fall off and were old and had a core that was at least useless in the playoffs and aging and just getting worse, was going to fall off. And if they got into the playoffs, it would be on the back of Igor Shesterkin, and they would only do so by maybe getting a wild card spot. That is not what has transpired this season. The Rangers have been a model of consistency since relieving Gerard Gallant of his duties and hiring Peter Laviolette. The Devils, on the other hand, went the opposite way this season. Between goaltending woes and issues defending and the growing pains of trying to integrate more young players in the lineup in the expense of, or and more skill into their lineup at the expense of the lunch pail kind of guys, you know, the Zakas and the Sharangoviches and the Miles Wood types, who they basically swore up and down was what the one final thing holding the team back. Well, didn't exactly work out that way. I mean, like I mentioned, goaltending woes, injury woes for the Devils. And honestly, just from a bystander's perspective, just not enough of the players willing to do the little things and play the hard minutes and honestly put their work pants on and do the work in the corners and just to keep the team even defensively and block, you know, blocking shots and just being more sacrificing some offense to play better defense. Yeah, there wasn't really much of that in New Jersey this year. And unfortunately for them, it has showed. So obviously there's been some frustration on the Devils end the season, especially with the Rangers, their crosstown rival, getting, or cross river rival, I should say, getting the upper hand on them throughout all their previous meetings to date, concluding obviously with the last two, with Matthew Rempe running over Nate Bastian earlier in the year, knocking him out of the lineup, leaving him bloodied. The Devils then go out and sign or trade for Curtis McDermid from the Colorado Avalanche in an attempt to bolster their team toughness. McDermid challenges Rempe to fight in their two teams' next meeting, but after fighting so much, Peter Laviolette basically told him to not do it. So he didn't take the invitation from McDermid. So apparently going into this meeting, Coach Travis Green, who has replaced the fired Lindy Ruff, who got fired in season by the sputtering Devils this year, in his lineup card basically puts out a bunch of, you know, his tougher players on that team. McDermid, Kevin Ball, and Brendan Smith, and I forget who else. Was it Lazar? Curtis Lazar? But so seeing this and basically seeing the writing on the wall of what was going to happen if he had started a more skilled line, Peter Laviolette says, all right, that's how you want to do it. So he, in kind, puts out Matthew Rempe, Jimmy Vesey, Jacob Trouba, Keandre Miller, and Barclay Gaudreau. And obviously this harkens back to the New York Rangers' last opening shift line brawl, although I think that was, you know, 3-on-3. God, how long ago was that? Was that 2012? I think that sounds about right. But yeah, all five players on the ice drop him. Even Igor at one point had taken his catcher off, so I don't know if he was looking for down ice at Allen for some action, but it didn't end up playing out that way. So yeah, essentially we have five fights on the ice at once, and I'd say, you know, it was a combination mixture of results for all five fights. I mean, I guess you kind of have to look at it cumulatively, right? Off the top, I'd say, although I think McDermid maybe landed more punches on Rempe. Rempe had some bloody knuckles at the end, maybe a little bit of a busted lip, but you know, both players remained standing. So, and Rempe being 21 and McDermid being as old as he is, it was, you know, pretty impressive for him to basically hang in there. I think Gaudreau got the takedown on Kevin Ball, or they kind of both just spilled to the ice. Keandre Miller basically squared up with John Marino, and Miller is much bigger than Marino, ragdolled him to the ice a little bit, and then when he had him down, Marino kind of has hands up, and Miller could have hit him, but didn't, refrained, and then as he was skating away, he kind of gave him he put his hand low to the ice, basically giving him the too small taunt, which was humorous. Yeah, and then VC and Curtis Lazar dropped them as well, and then Trouba and I don't know who True Buffon, I forget. You know, just a bunch of nobodies on the New Jersey Devils. But that being said, instead of them all happening at once, the refs rule that technically VC and Lazar got the gloves off first, and then the rest of the gloves came off seconds after, which would count all the subsequent fights, the other four fights, as secondary altercations. And I guess letter of the law, that means that's grounds for game misconduct. So essentially everyone other than VC and Lazar got the boot from the game. They all got sent put in the box like sardines. And then the other players got, other than VC and Lazar, got sent to the locker room. So I will also say that in typical Andy luck, I didn't get to watch this in real time because I had dinner plans with my wife and some friends of ours. But literally, I'm sitting at a fancy restaurant with a nice glass of wine in my hand when my phone in my pants pocket is literally, my leg is shaking from friends texting me, trying to FaceTime me. I had a friend who was at the game who was trying to FaceTime me. Just text, are you seeing this? Are you watching this? Let's go. Let's F and go. Blah, blah, blah. Over and over, just talking about it. And I literally had to excuse. I'm like, I need to use the restroom. And I pulled my phone out and see what had just gone down seconds earlier. And I was like, holy shit. So crazy, craziness. But yeah, I mean, obviously at the end, I think it's one of those... At least I think it was a win in the moment, I'll say, for both teams. I think the Devils wanted to show the Rangers that they weren't going to be pushed around. And, you know, Rempe has to answer, blah, 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 whatever, for his hits earlier in the year. But obviously the Rangers faithful were on their feet. And because it was most likely all the decisions, you know, it was a mixed bag of results on the ice, it just kind of was a wash. But I think it's like almost because the home team was so pumped up, you could maybe give the edge to the Rangers because they proceed to, even though they're without Truba and Miller on their back end, you know, obviously giving up Gaudreau and Rempe for the forwards is not the end of the world for them. But obviously just giving up an entire, you know, their second pair, could really alter the game for them. So, but they proceed to come out and play an excellent game. Well, in spurts. They have two out of three amazing periods for the New York Rangers. But before I talk about the rest of the game, I do have to say, who was the camera person who in the production truck was calling the camera shots for this? At no point did they think to, maybe we should pull out so we can see the results of all the fights happening at once. I know every now and then, Rempe and McDermott was the one that everyone was talking about and wanted to see. So they chose to focus on that, which I get. But you could have mixed in some more wide shots to get the action of everyone fighting, because that's the cooler visual. You know what I mean? I understand, again, that Rempe and McDermott was the marquee matchup there of all the squaring off. But that being said, what cooler visual in literally when you have five-on-five fights on the ice, like, and you don't think to pull back and show that, get a full ice shot of just five, you know, tilts going at once. There were so many people complaining about it, and you can add me to the pile because it's just like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? But again, craziness to start that game. And then, after all that excitement, I guess we got to play a hockey game now. And the Rangers go on to have an excellent first period, outshooting the Devils, getting two pretty nice goals from Panarin and Lafreniere, respectively. Lafreniere with a two-point period, a goal, and an assist. You know, he assists on Panarin's. He makes a nice cross-crease, no-look pass to Panarin for a 1-tee into an open net. And then he collects, coming off of the dying seconds of a power play. He's able to come on and just get to go to the net front and basically clean up the garbage into the net and stash in from the side of the goal mouth, which is what you want to see from Lafreniere. God, this kid is feeling it right now. He's so effective. But again, the Rangers are a little porous in the second period, and despite scoring two goals, they give up three off some pretty nice passing plays from the Devils, just getting caught out of position, not and basically underestimating the Devils' skill to thread pucks and just track in the offensive zone, a lot of cross crease, you know, tap-ins and things of that nature, and the Rangers are basically down one going into the third period. However, the hallmark of this season, I said up top, a tale of two teams. The Rangers have been one of the best teams in the league at comebacks in the third period this season. I believe after that win last night, they are now first in the NHL in third period comebacks. The New Jersey Devils have been one of the worst teams at holding on to leads they have in the third period. And that's essentially how it played out. Devils give up two goals to the Rangers. Kaapo Kakko off the rush, broken stick on young Luke Hughes, is able to get on his horse, and in a impressive burst of speed for Kaapo Kakko, who is not known for being fast, rushes down the ice and off balance and getting harassed by a D-man, is still able to put a nice little snapshot over the shoulder of Kaapo Kakkonen. I was calling him Jake Allen a few times. It was Kakkonen in net. Funnily enough, after the game, when asked about his goal, I think Kakko said something to the effect of, like, you know, it's like, we have the same first name. He's from the same city as me. He's a nice guy, which is pretty funny. Doesn't answer the question of taking through the goal, but is the perfect Kaapo Kakko answer. And I think it's also what's being lost right now is just how effective he's been in the last few games for the New York Rangers. I think he's a point per game in his last five games. And yeah, just scoring clutch goals when they've needed it. He gets rewarded with the Broadway hat last night. Just honestly, if going into the postseason, the knock on this team has been they've been a one-line team, so they're going to need tertiary scoring. And if that third line with him and Wennberg and whoever it ends up being, Brodzinski or Cooley, can score some timely goals for the New York Rangers, that's one of the only ways they're really going to be successful. So to see them coming on and just to be one of the best defensive lines, or clearly the best defensive line on the team, but also be able to chip in with offense, is amazing. And I mean, it's not inconceivable that the more he scores, the more confidence he'll get, just kind of like Lafreniere was able to right his ship this season, just putting in a position to succeed with, you know, a consistent role and get ice time. And that's what happens, is happening with Kaapo Kakko this year. He's gotten more, even though it's not quite the highlight marquee role that Lafreniere has gotten, but it's one of those things where it's just enough time that he can stop thinking about the results and just play. And even if he just gets a little bit lucky to start, that just fuels his confidence. And now you see it with him making defensive plays, making offensive plays, shooting the puck more, beating goalies from, you know, the circles and from on breakaways with his shot, which was considered a weakness. You know, everyone's complaining about how whippy his sticks have been in the past few years, but he's clearly added size, could use to... and strength, obviously. Obviously, he could stand to add him some more explosiveness. But if he does that, he can really unlock the next level of his game, because the Rangers are going to need him to play closer to his ceiling in future seasons and move up the lineup as they lose players to time. We know hockey games move fast. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. And finally in that game, Chris Kreider with a timely tip in front of the net, putting the Rangers up 4-3. They're able to hold on. Igor makes some great saves down the stretch. the Rangers hold on for the win, and they sweep the season series against the New Jersey Devils, which, again, a nice little final exclamation point for them on their season, and a nice little, a little bit of sweet revenge for the team that eliminated them last year, basically. Yeah, kind of basically shoving it in their faces a little bit, you know what I mean? After the fact, interviewed in the locker room, it was pretty funny, the quotes after the game. You know, you have Rempe saying things like, "That was a banger," and, he just kind of has this so happy to be here mentality that fans have really latched onto. They were chanting his name during that big brawl. They've been chanting his name. They were chanting his name the other night when the Rangers were laying an egg against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And man, this kid is, we've said it before, we'll say it again. Listen, he's a lightning rod. He ends up barely playing half the time because he gets kicked out of games for stuff like this. But the Rangers win those games. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like he leaves an indelible mark on games he's not barely even playing in, you know, just by doing this stuff. He changes the temperature in the building when he walks into it. He has that that aura, that je ne sais quoi, you know. I know, pardon my horrific French. But he just has it, man. And it's just a wild energy, and people are captivated by it. So it was must-see appointment television. You know, just so many fan can shots and reaction shots. You have Pat McAfee on his show basically saying, you know, why the NHL is so awesome, one of the best sports, because, you know, you can have players still fight like this and go, you know, at it like this. And just, yeah, I mean, Rempe is a big part of that. The old heads love Rempe because he's pretty much reignited a dying segment of the NHL, which was the enforcer and the code and and answering the call and, you know, all that stuff and the toughness, quote unquote, factor that I guess a lot of people think has been extinguished from hockey. But this is, you know, you've seen other NHL pundits and podcasts say that this has been one of the wilder seasons I can remember or imagine. I mean, I might say that every season, but especially, you know, it just seemed like before the COVID shortened season and, you know, the bubble playoffs and all that, just those few seasons leading up to that, especially after the Rangers went to the Cup final, it just seemed like the NHL was just like, I don't know. It was just kind of stagnant, but we have more offense than ever. You have Austin Matthews, a 60-plus goal scorer, and he keeps going with, he's got, what, 6 games left to put some more goals up? You know, you have McDavid and Kucherov just dueling it out for 100 and, you know, some odd point, crazy number seasons. You have all this craziness with Rempe fighting, being up this year with, you know, Rempe. And literally, I'm sure it had nothing to do with it because they were playing a game, but, you know, you had Reeves and Janot drop the gloves last night. So it's just been a pretty crazy season in terms of just, high octane offense, high octane action, high octane pugilism, you know, whatever you want to say. And man, last night was just another feather in the New York Rangers cap in a season that right now their brim is filled with feathers sticking out, because, you know, they've had some pretty good signature moments this year with the stadium series comeback, obviously this game coming out on top, just some really good moral victories, and, you know, the win streak earlier. It's just, yeah, they've and again, the Rangers were wearing their alternates, in which whenever they wear those alternate jerseys, they seem to kick ass. I don't know what their record is. I don't have it on hand, but I assume their record with the alternates, if they haven't won every game, they've probably only lost one while wearing their third jersey this year. So, you know, all hail the third jerseys, because it's really served them well. And yeah, man, it's just, James and I keep saying, you know, the Rangers will be in good shape if they have this record down the stretch. But then you see some tough opponents on the horizon or on their schedule, and you're like, well, they can drop that one and it'll be okay. But I mean, we'll see what happens. It might be harder for them to keep it up, because, you know, they're playing other than the Red Wings, Well, actually, I should say that. At first, I thought it might be easy, but right now you have the Red Wings who are fighting like hell to basically try to get into the playoffs in the dying stretch here. You have the Montreal Canadiens who have been playing really well recently. They're kind of playing, they're a spoiler team toward the end of the year, trying to go out in a high note with no pressure. So that's a tough matchup. You have the Islanders twice, who literally have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs now because of all the ineptitude around them. You have the Flyers, who are trying like hell to hold on to any playoff spot that they can, because obviously after they've really struggled recently, you know, Couturier's now out. You know, they're literally, they are only 1 point ahead of the Washington Capitals for third place in the Metro, and they've played two more games. So they're a team that's falling. So it is conceivable that they can miss the playoffs because, again, you have the Detroit Red Wings have 82 points with 75 games played, just on the outside looking in. They're basically tied with that second with Washington, although Washington has a game in hand on them, but and also has, you know, the game in hand and also, I think, more regulation wins, hence why they're, or no, I'm sorry, they have less regulation wins, but I don't know if a goal differential then comes in play. I'm not sure. But, and then the Islanders who have 81 points. And now you have the Penguins coming up the rear with 79 points or so, and they haven't lost in a while. So they play the Capitals tonight, which is a huge game for them. So, yeah. And then finally, the Rangers end it with Ottawa, who's another team that, despite their ineptitude this season, has been, yeah, they're also a team that could spoil. They're looking to go out in a high note, too. That should be their last. I think that's their last game of the season. It's the Rangers' last game of the season. I think it's their last game of the season. So, oy, 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 oy. Not an easy stretch when in the traditional sense, because if you obviously, if anything, you think you'd almost want the Rangers playing other playoff teams because they're everyone's just like, all right, let's just not get hurt. Like, we're so close. The Rangers will probably sit some people. That being said, as of right now, if they can hang on to first in the league, which they're at, they're 1 point ahead of the Dallas Stars for the President's Trophy race. But if they can hang on and win the entire East, then they'll end up playing the Washington Capitals as it stands today, which could end up being either the Red Wings, the Penguins, or the Islanders if they get in, which would be crazy. First round matchup, which, you know, could be in a whole nother bag of, you know, it's a whole nother, you know, basket of eggs I don't want to get into right now. The having to play Sorokin in the first round does give me pause despite the Islander struggles this year. But if for some reason another team, say the Boston Bruins or the Carolina Hurricanes, can pass the Rangers, which I think it would be tough for Carolina. Although if they, the Rangers have played one more game, but they have five more points. So not implausible, especially with six games left. But if Boston can somehow finish ahead of the Rangers, then the Rangers would end up playing the Lightning, which would be tough because I don't see the Tampa only has 91 points for that first wild card spot. Toronto is in third in their division with 95 points. I just don't see them catch, you know, four more points ahead. It'd be tough for them to catch. You know, I don't see Toronto's playing really well right now down the stretch. So yeah, and Tampa would obviously be a real tough matchup for the Rangers down the stretch or in the playoffs in the first round. So right now we thought things were set in stone, but you have teams basically clawing to get in because it's up for grabs. You essentially have it's there for the taking for a beaten up and hurt Detroit Red Wings team. I don't know what the deal with Dylan Larkin is. I haven't looked it up recently since I said last time. What's going on with Dylan Larkin? I don't know how long he's out for. You know what? I just Google it. Maintenance. Oh, he's skating. Or that was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, he'll miss the next three games. So who knows? Who knows, you know, if he's going to... Is he bad? I don't even know. Oh, did Larkin play? I thought he was hurt. So I guess he's fine. See, shows what I know. But again, they're trying to like hell to get in. And the Islanders are playing real, real well down the stretch because they can see a path forward to make it. And if they do, then that's a hell of an endorsement for Patrick Waugh after the change they made. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's going to be real fascinating down the stretch for the New York Rangers here. I mean, I thought on first, I'm like, oh, these will be easy games. These teams stink. But most of them are playing, you know, at 1-2, essentially 1-2-3, four of their next six games are for teams that are trying to get in the playoffs. So that's going to be tough. And then the other two are spoiler teams. You know what I mean? So if anything, it's almost like I'd said, it might have been better to play a team that was kind of comfortably, a Western team that's kind of comfortably in their playoff spot. And they're like, all right, you know, just no one get hurt. Okay. So that does give me pause. But again, this team has only exceeded my expectations. In their last, Jesus Christ, I'm looking at the Rangers, they've just been winning, man. They find ways to win. And just when I'm like, you know what, might be okay for them to take the night off, or they do have a bad performance, they come back with a gutsy one. And I think that's why they're in the position they are in. That's why they're currently first, even if by the slimmest of margins in the NHL. And yeah, again, I think the thing with them, as I've said many times, it's not always pretty, but effective. And that's honestly all you can ask for. So I guess let's sign off this one by giving a shout out to Matt Rempe for staying patient, waiting to get back in the lineup, and then making an impact. Because from what we saw last night, yeah, there's no quit in New York.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Boys Pod. And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.